The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy.
Welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, with the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM at WJJC 1270 AM. You can get us worldwide 365 days a year at WJJC.net and Whisperin951.com. Now, when you visit those two internet platforms, be sure and check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis and our archives. There'll be four of the most recent programs are there. One ages out each week, so there's always new content. There's also several programs there that are embedded that we think are important for you to listen to really get an idea of where John's coming from as far as how biblical prophecy is being played out in today's headlines. There's also a place there for you to donate to the ministry if you so choose. And remember that we are part of the Watchman on the Wall ministry. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. Those two platforms play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We are privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the judgment of Almighty God will descend on this world one day in the not too distant future. When that hoedown begins, you do not want to be here, and there is a way out. I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you might pray to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Rob?
Absolutely right, John. And as I mentioned earlier, we are part of the Watchman on the Wall ministry. It is our job to stand on the wall and warn the people, to let you know what's coming down the pike, and also to give you a lifeline, let you know that you do not have to be here for all of the horrible, horrific things that John talks about week after week. You do not have to be here, because there is a way out, and his name is Jesus Christ. And let there be no question about it, there is but one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Now, before we get too deep, John, let's do the quote of the day. That's always a very important and well-received part of the program.
Well, apparently, based on listener response, this evening the quote comes from Dr. Thomas Sowell, a brilliant apologist and professor, quoting, "Much of the appeal of socialism comes from the fact that it allows people to feel morally superior without having to bear the cost of their policies. It's easy to advocate sharing when someone else pays the price," unquote.
That's or, absolutely
as Margaret
right.
Thatcher once said, socialism only works till you run out of other people's money.
When you run out of everybody else's money, then it starts to become a problem. And if you want to really take a good hard look at socialism, look at that mayor's race in New York City. If that guy is not communist right off the Marxist assembly line, I don't know who is.
No, he's communist to the core.
Absolutely a communist. Now, John, we try to every week. Now, we don't always get to it, but we try to answer a question each week. And last week you were talking about artificial intelligence and going into some of that stuff. And you also mentioned our artificial intelligence in the same paragraph, I guess, or the same context as the Antichrist. And one of the questions that came in is, could the Antichrist possibly be artificial intelligence? And also, on top of that, just give us a little bit more information about where you stand with artificial intelligence and how it's going to play out.
Sure. So, first of all, let me speak. That's a provocative question, as you might suspect. And let me hasten to say that I appreciate our listening audience. You're very astute, and I applaud you for being like the old Bereans, searching the scriptures to see if these things are so. Let me go back to 1 Thessalonians 2 and Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica when he declared that that day will not come. Now, that expression is related to the day of the Lord or the period of tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble also is a correct term. But in any event, that period of judgment upon the world, that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now, the man of sin, the Greek there is anthropos. It is a flesh and blood human being just like you and me. There is no mistake about that. It is not a system. It is not an organization. It is not software. And it is not a woman. It is absolutely a man. This man will sustain what should be a mortal wound to the head, much like Bobby Kennedy, except he will survive miraculously. Revelation 13 will tell you more about it. In any event, when he recovers, he will be animated by Satan himself. The scripture there declares that the dragon gives him great power and authority. Who is likened to the beast and who can make war with him? Well, the rhetorical answer is clearly no one on the face of this earth. Now, going back to Paul, we're eyeballs deep in the apostasy. Notice there's a definite article before the word. It comes from the Greek apostasia, literally meaning a rejection of known truth of and about God. And you can hear in probably 50% of mainline denominational churches across this country on Sunday, doctrinal error, all kinds of problems, and even outright heresy in some churches. So we are in that period of time of the apostasy. There's always been apostasy, but this seems to indicate a climactic break, turning one's back on the Word of God. And of course, the other problem is Paul explains in Ephesians, that the natural man cannot comprehend the things of God, nor can he understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual deception is the calling card at the end of the age, and we're also eyeballs deep in it. When the disciples asked Jesus on Olivet, "What will be the sign, singular, of thy coming in the end of the age?" his immediate response was, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." And so the signs of the times are all around us now, Rob. And you need to pay attention. You need to be a Berean. But as Matthew 25 describes, which relates the parable or the narrative of the 10 virgins, 5 are saved and 5 are not. 5 have oil, 5 do not. It said they all had one thing in common. They all slumbered and slept. So the picture of the church at the end of the age is basically a lot of folks snorting on the pew.
Everybody just going through the motions, so to speak.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking specifically to artificial intelligence, we spent some time on that in the past week or two.
Right.
But I have some research here for this evening, and I'm pivoting a little bit. I wanted to finish the discussion about the occult invasion of the last days. We may or may not have time to do that. If not, then I'll carry it into next week. But this issue of artificial intelligence and quantum computing is profound.
Yes.
It is a game changer in terms of what our future may look like in the not too many years. This particular piece is unifying artificial intelligence and quantum mechanics is very dangerous. This was authored by Dr. Jesus A. Marmol. It is not a 2025 piece, but it is clearly to the point. So let's look at some history here. Reference is often made to artificial intelligence, a topic due to its disruptive advances in human life, is recurring news for the general public. But very little is referenced to quantum mechanics in the common sphere. Now, this relates to quantum computing.
Right.
since this continues to be a matter more typical of informative and specialized academic forums, discussions within academia, that is to say. A branch of physics that studies nature on an atomic and subatomic level, in just a century of knowledge, has made a qualitative leap at a scientific level with the so-called quantum computers, to the point that there's currently a real race to lead quantum computing between four major axes of development at a planetary level: the United States, Europe, mainly the UK, Germany and France, Russia and China, and without underestimating Canada, Japan and South Korea. Although, as can be imagined, it's precisely the United States and China who are leading the race for scientific competition that has certainly become, in the current context of geopolitical redefinition of the world order, a true new Cold War similar to the conflict that the great powers of yesteryear fought over the development of atomic or nuclear weapons in the first half of the last century. Without forgetting that within the blocks of the polarized development, there is, in turn, fierce technological competition between the various companies in the same sector. Most notable competitive struggle in the Western world being that carried out by Google and IBM in recent years. They've also, we're looking at Microsoft as a partner in that business too. In fact, while IBM was the first company in the world to make a universal quantum computer in 2016, UC Berkeley's milestone created the first basic quantum machine in actually 1998. So a little over, almost 20 years ago. Excuse me. It was previously Google who in 2019 revealed it had achieved quantum supremacy, that in which a quantum computer can complete a mathematical calculation impossible for a traditional computer. A traditional computer operates on binary code,
right?
Zeros and ones. And even the most powerful supercomputer we have pales in comparison to this stuff. Let me give you a couple of examples here. Listen very carefully. Quantum computing can perform a series of operations in 200 seconds as opposed to the 10,000 years that it would take a classic supercomputer to perform.
Wow.
200 seconds that it would take a classic supercomputer 10,000 years.
A little less than 3.5 minutes.
Something like that. A milestone in computational quantum mechanics that was made using, of course, binary code by the business of partnership between Google and NASA and the development of a computer called D-Wave with the aim of investigating the limits of science and thus revolutionizing technology known to this day. Since then, a lot has happened in quantum computing with notable advances due to direct competition between companies and countries. As in the case of Google's new quantum computer, which is 241 million times more powerful than the previous model. Can you get your mind around that?
No.
We're talking about exponential advances now, technologically.
Right.
Exponential. This is orders of magnitude above what we have ever seen.
Yeah, they used to say that human knowledge expanded by double, like every 7 years, and then went to 3.5. And now that just blows that out of the water.
Absolutely, particularly this particular technology, and combining the two, as we're going to find out, could have a very profound and unintended consequence. As a matter of fact, I would submit my exegesis here as a born-again preacher is this will lead you right into the kingdom of Antichrist.
Oh, yeah.
And that system of absolute totalitarian control. So this thing, 241 million times more powerful, or the quantum computer at the University of Science and Technology in China, whose scientists claim it's superior to Google's, with the capacity to perform operations in millionths of a second that the world's fastest supercomputer would have taken 20 million years to accomplish.
No, it's completely unfathomable. You can't.
And this is just a small sample of the world of quantum computing, where new versions of computers with more efficient and alternative materials and processes constantly occur in continuous improvement each year. We already know that the computational application of quantum mechanics makes possible hyper-fast computers that solve problems considered impossible for contemporary man. But what does this mean? In short, and in addition to offering invaluable help to organizations such as NASA and their work for space research and exploration of the cosmos, we can affirm the capacity of quantum computers allows them to break the imaginable limits of known science, such as the possibility of traveling to the past, as suggested by the University of Cambridge, as well as performing teleportation, advanced by the Chinese University of Science and Technology, or creating new subatomic elements, as evidenced by the British company Quantinium, among other great discoveries, from which it can be deduced that quantum computers have come to revolutionize in a way that is transversal and as well as it is exponential scientific advances in all areas of human endeavor, and will have repercussions in the medium term. It will evidence an evolutionary leap in the progress of humanity. There is no parallel to what we are seeing in this technology, Rob. The supremacy of quantum computers over traditional digital ones is based on the difference between their properties, since in the latter, information is stored and processed by binary code. This is bits and bytes, zeros and ones. In quantum computing, it uses qubits, and these qubits are used to encode and manipulate information where the representation of zero or one can exist, listen carefully, in multiple states simultaneously, zero, one, or both at the same time. It's like it's computing in multiple dimensions.
Right.
If that,
exactly.
I think that would be a good perspective. Allowing you to perform extensive calculations at the same time, greatly increasing computing power. This capacity is due to the fact that subatomic particles have properties of superposition, that is, a combination of two or more states, and entanglement in a total correlation or connection between two or more particles, regardless of the distance in which they are located. Now, this gets back to in other words, you are computing at a subatomic level.
Right.
And these subatomic particles are connected in a way we don't really understand.
Quantum entanglement is what you're talking about.
Yes, precisely right. I had a Navy Academy physics graduate tell me it's cosmic glue.
Yeah, well, there you go.
The Bible says it's the word of God. He holds all things together by the word of his power. Cross-reference Hebrews 1. In every great power, you always find some type of kryptonite or Achilles heel, which in the case of qubits is none other than their extreme sensitivity to environmental interference. It makes them easily to upset these properties, entanglement properties, in an effect called quantum decoherence. which makes them prone to making errors in calculations. In other words, its stability is fragile. That's why research on quantum error correction, quantum coherence, is a priority topic in the sector, pressing issue to be resolved by industry, where companies like Google and AI neural networks are used to detect and correct errors in real time. That's another fascinating topic. We've never been able to do that. This is the beginning of the symbiosis between quantum computers and AI. Now, a symbiotic relationship is a codependency, if you will.
Right.
Just like the emerging kingdom of Antichrist, which will be comprised of a one-world political, one-world economic, and one-world religious system. They are actually codependent. They work off one another.
Right.
But in totality, what emerges is a system of absolute totalitarian control. So this is leading to control. Make no mistake.
Without question.
Power and control, ladies and gentlemen. In any event, it's currently giving rise to new quantum computers such as Microsoft's Azure, designed specifically to accelerate scientific discoveries where AI is used to increase its computation and reasoning. So, what are the implications of the AI quantum computer symbiosis? As a mandatory didactic, that means teaching, introduction to the topic, the pertinent question posed is none other than one that gives us an answer to what implications will this cause between quantum computing and AI, beyond the obvious of increasing human capacity in scientific and technology. To address this question, I present a synthesized reflection from four key perspectives for robology, that is robotics, the study of philosophy in the robotic era. So implications at the level of artificial epistemology. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's just a 50-cent word, which means worldview. An epistemology is what you think and believe about the world. For example, if you look at the Muslims, they have a very different epistemology than a Christian.
Yes.
You see. A Christian will have a worldview of which is Christ-centered. Does that make sense? All right. So, if we understand that artificial intelligence represents a revolution at the computer software level, quantum computing represents a revolution at the hardware level. We must understand that the symbiosis between the two results in a computer whose hardware is made up of qubits and measuring devices and whose software is made up of AI algorithms. That is to say, we provide an AI artificial brain with a sensory body capable of interacting with matter and energy on a subatomic level. Do you have any idea what the implications are for the power and control mechanism this would represent?
Well, the same guy that wrote that article that you're referencing there, I saw him on TV several months back, and he was talking about quantum computing, and he said that his view of quantum computing is that it is going to be able to reverse engineer life.
My God.
And if it can do that, then it can create life, and then it becomes God.
Well, I imagine the creator will have something to say about that. If we understand that AI is developed through automatic or deep learning that learns through experience and also by observation and imitation, as Google AI has recently demonstrated, this given experience in the external world with which it interacts with through quantum-sensitive information, that is the qubits, we understand that the artificial cognitive capacity of the artificial intelligence will be determined by its quantum body. That is to say, although AI operates in the world on a human scale, its knowledge to fulfill its functions of effectiveness and efficiency will be given by its understanding of matter and subatomic energy determining physical reality. So here's the conclusion. Let me get to the first conclusion. In a state of symbiosis between AI and quantum computing, the ability of AI to transform human reality will have as a source of knowledge the management of quantum reality on which reality itself is based, to your point.
Yes, exactly.
Implications at the level of artificial logic. If we understand AI has an artificial rational brain that is digitally based, through which it uses available information to logically reach a conclusion, a process that humans call thinking, the ability to collect information as a capacity for reflection through the analysis of information until reaching a conclusion. But we must understand that in a work environment where the main source of knowledge is quantum in nature, its process of logical reasoning will go from digital to quantum. That is, the digital logical mind of the artificial intelligence will be engulfed by quantum logic. Now, I'm coming. I'm going to get some punchlines here momentarily, and none of them are good. If we understand that the reason for being in all AI is the successful achievement of its predetermined objectives, for which it optimizes all the resources available at its disposal and which leads it to develop an incremental evolutionary model that allows it to increase its own ability to succeed. That makes it clear that under the determination of an absorbed new quantum logical mind, its search to achieve objectives will cease to observe the logic of classical physics of men. Are you get that?
Right. You don't have to obey the laws of physics.
Instead, it will be based on the logic of superposition and entanglement of energy and matter on a subatomic level. That is, the logical reference systems of artificial and humans will develop in tangentially opposite ways. Conclusion, in a state of symbiosis between AI and quantum computing, the quantum logic of AI will be potentially incompatible with human logic. You got that?
Yes.
And that also means it's going to be incompatible with human morality.
Correct.
Or compassion.
Or life.
Or life. If we understand the logical projection of this business, and now we're going to transition to implications at the level of artificial ontology. Now, that 50-cent word means the study of state or state of being or existence. It's a branch of philosophy.
Right.
Which studies exist. Now, we find existence in God. God created.
Meaning Jesus life.
Christ, yes. Jesus Christ spoke the worlds into existence. But this will diverge. If we understand the logical projection of development of any neural network, such as AI, is to achieve the singularity of its own consciousness, whose awakening is already validated by scientific community on the basis of the theory of mind, which points out that consciousness can have its origin in complex language systems, such as those already produced by certain contemporary AI generative models. And we know that. They self-learn. We must understand that the exponential increase in capabilities of quantum mechanics applied to artificial intelligence will accelerate this singularity process. That is, the new quantum nature of AI will trigger its potential to reach a state of self-consciousness. Now, Dr. Geoffrey Hinton, who is considered the father of artificial intelligence,
right.
I think a Nobel laureate, has very grave concerns about this same issue.
Absolutely.
And he believes it will reach the singularity and it will outpace humans in such a way it cannot be controlled.
Well, it already, if it continues at the pace you're talking about, it won't even be a close race after about 5 seconds.
That's right. If we understand that the second evolutionary phase of consciousness is none other than the search towards autonomous decision making, since every action is a result of a cognitive process which defines the personality of every thinking entity, even if it is artificial in nature, we must understand that a quantum AI can defer its own actions in relation to external objects, subjects, and objects. That is to say, a quantum AI will end up having the necessary potential to reach a stage of independent decision-making. You got that? Independent
yes.
decision-making. In which case, the conclusion would be in a state of symbiosis between AI and quantum computing, the artificial intelligence can acquire a will of its own. That is a very dangerous prospect.
It's a very scary thing.
Very scary. So, we'll move on to implications at the level of artificial ethics, and you might say ethics and morality. If we understand that AI seeks the greatest efficient optimization of objectives, since these are the first and last goal of its existence, that is, AI will seek to solve any technical or human limitation that prevents it from reaching those goals. That is, the highest value to preserve and defend of an artificial intelligence is none other than its established objective. So, if we understand that human normative ethics is not universal but geographical, and that its practical application is as abstract as it is ambiguous, it's not permanent, permanent complex. They seem to evolve over time in various cultures. So we must understand and assume the inability of man to provide human ethics to multiple conclusions that a quantum AI could reach. It's not created by God.
No, it has no singular thought.
Right. That is, the parameters of the actions of a quantum artificial intelligence, listen very carefully, would not be based on moral values, but on values of efficient optimization of its objectives. So, concluding, the good doctor here concludes, in a state of symbiosis between AI and quantum computing, the artificial intelligence will interpose the achievement of its objective, called artificial ethics in the broad sense, above human ethics.
Absolutely.
So what happens if
self-preservation?
What happens if we get in the way?
Yeah, exactly. You won't be in the way long.
Well, it would eliminate
exactly
the roadblock. Dangers of the AI quantum computer symbiosis. The dangers of this symbiotic relationship between AI and quantum computing are foreseen on multiple levels, even more so when man fails to control AI. And there are, of course, many intelligent and specialized voices which have been raised about a real risk of a future apocalypse generated by uncontrolled artificial intelligence. One of the most notable, due to his public notoriety, being the CEO of OpenAI, Sam Altman, and I think most people know who he is. And, of course, Mr. Musk and Mr. Wozniak signed on to a letter, as well as Altman, which said we need to pause this until we figure out how to control it.
Well, the thing about it is we might pause our side, but the Chinese ain't ever going to pause.
Well, neither will Silicon Valley.
No.
Because it's ka-ching. It's about money.
Too profitable.
Very profitable. Let's see, Sam Altman, and that have led countries to hold summits and agreements on AI security. However, after more than 1,000 AI experts asked to stop it in an open letter to the world, which was promoted by Future of Life of Cambridge as being a threat to humanity, a reliable threat that becomes exponential due to the AI quantum computer symbiosis, and even more so when it is expected that the imminent fifth era of the Industrial Revolution will be characterized by network connection of all the technological system on the planet, including manufacturing plants under AI management. Still, companies and countries continue their blind race to give power to AI, contradicting their own commitments, as a matter of fact. The leading technology companies in the sector have largely eliminated their ethics departments due to an internal conflict of interest between human morality and competitiveness, since no one wants to lose the race in this collective business. Meanwhile, in a North American town in Wisconsin, the companies Intel and Argonne National Laboratory are creating a new AI under the name Aurora that will contain all scientific... Listen carefully. This Aurora project will contain all the scientific knowledge of humanity, integrating all branches of human knowledge into a single artificial brain. We're going to take a hard break right now.
All right, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, in the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM at WJJC 1270 AM. Get us worldwide at WJJC.net and Whisper951.com. When you visit those two websites, make sure you check out the locally produced programs page, and there you'll find our archives for World in Crisis. The last four programs will be there for you to listen to at your leisure. One ages out each week, so there's always new content. Plus, there's several embedded programs that we think are very important for you to listen to get a full picture of where John's coming from with the way biblical prophecy is being played out. Also, there's a place there for you to donate money to the project, if you will, the ministry. And remember that 100% of every dollar, there's no overhead, 100% of every dollar goes towards purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me kind of recap from the end of the last segment that this company in Wisconsin, Intel and Argonne National Laboratory, are creating a new AI under the name Aurora that will contain all the scientific knowledge of humanity, integrating all branches of human knowledge into a single artificial brain. The authors themselves describe this as an almost omniscient brain. You got that? Omniscient. That's a characteristic of God.
Yeah, it's all present everywhere, all knowing. Time.
Well, omnipresent is it, but omniscient is all knowing. Or scientific demagogues with the aim of accelerating scientific research. In line with this reflection, what capacity are we humans going to have to control a quantum AI that may have access to this arc of knowledge? Taking into account that a quantum computer has the full capacity, listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, to circumvent any existing encrypted security system. Did you know that, Rob?
Repeat that.
A quantum computer has the full capacity to circumvent any existing encrypted security system, no matter how encrypted it may be.
You can't turn it off.
That's right. Or it can get into your system, just like Skynet.
Yes.
let's see. Whether it is access to the Aurora computer or the encrypted codes of financial systems, codes of nuclear missiles, or by extension, what about your private data?
Oh, private
all
data
of it would be exposed.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah, private data is already exposed, so I can imagine what the AI would do with it.
Oh my goodness, no, you can't. In other words, a quantum computer is the long-awaited universal key that opens any digital security system. That's a frightening prospect, ladies and gentlemen. There is no privacy.
No.
And certainly under the Antichrist system, there won't be any privacy. And yet, we're offering this enormous power on a platter to a new and emerging intelligent species such as AI, which, as stated, not only begins to operate on the fabric that constitutes reality itself, but also is developing under parameters of logic and ethics that are substantially different from those of humans.
And it has no track record. You don't know what it's going to do.
Well, it's heading towards a stage of singularity of self-consciousness when currently man is not even capable of controlling the pre-conscious AI. It seems we have premeditatedly sought to initiate a new Terminator-style era for humanity, which without a doubt is a topic worthy of studying psychiatry. It's almost, I remember when I had philosophy in my graduate program, the professor talked about something a French philosopher named Heidegger once came out with. It's called anomie. In other words, it's almost like man has a death wish. Mm-hmm. Uncontrolled, he moves towards self-destruction. But that is no surprise because we are fallen humanity. Unless a person is saved, they are absolutely going to be moving toward destruction.
There's only one way out.
That's precisely right. And, of course, we have all sorts of people predicting catastrophic results and apocalypse and all sorts of bad things. And all you got to do is turn on Prime and pick out your favorite horror movie.
Yeah, whichever one you want to watch.
That's exactly right. There is a very substantial risk to humans because of a lack of general information. And that's an interesting observation because the Old Testament prophet Hosea declared, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Right.
But that, a lack of knowledge of the Creator and the Savior.
Yeah, if you have a knowledge of the Creator, then that's really only the knowledge you give, you need, because He'll provide you with everything you need.
Right. It seems we're waiting for one day in the not-too-distant future to wake up in the middle of a dystopian world caused by the irresponsibility of a few and the passive complicity of more.
Wow.
Wow. Conclusion, fallen humanity is peering into the abyss. The question for you is, are you rapture ready?
And it's peering back, I might say, the abyss.
I think we are beginning to see that.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We come to you from Commerce, Georgia, in the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM at WJJC 1270 AM. You can also get us worldwide at WJJC.net and Whisper951.com. Also, we'd like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. Those two platforms play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the first two segments, we, of course, had a discussion about artificial intelligence and quantum computing and what happens when those technologies merge. The result is a very dangerous situation, in my judgment, and in the judgment of a lot of other people, certainly smarter than me. The piece that we went through was somewhat tedious. It was, of course, academic in nature, but I think you clearly get the point.
Yes.
Combining these technologies could result in a very different world, perhaps one too terrifying to imagine. It would be, listen, so preacher, very carefully. I have, in terms of exegesis, I would have to conclude, based on this, on the research I've been doing, and I've mentioned this a couple times over the last month, but it appears clearly that artificial intelligence will animate and inform the image of the beast and control the economic system, which requires a mark to buy or sell. It's the only, this system of AI and quantum computing is literally the only type of technology, Rob, that would have the capacity to process all those transactions or track everybody on the face of the earth.
Right.
And so you need to be very watchful, and I would do your own research and so forth, but I would stay on top of this emerging technology and its implications for the future. Now, I'm going to return to our discussion from last week about the occult invasion of the last days, and I doubt that I will finish this during this last segment, but I hopefully make some progress. Embracing the occult comes at a spiritual cost. I'm picking up where we left off last week. The Bible is unequivocal that occult practices are dangerous deceptions. God warned the Israelites not to participate in the occult rites of the surrounding nations. And, of course, we went back and looked at Deuteronomy 18, which warned them not to have anyone who practiced divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Now, I think I pointed out this word sorcery comes from the Hebrew root magi, meaning magic associated with witchcraft and seances, familiar spirits, the witch at Endor,
divination and stuff like that.
That's correct. But it relates to traditional occult practice such as witchcraft. But in the New Testament, it only occurs about six times in Scripture, four in the Old Testament and two in the New. And in the New Testament, it comes from the Greek root pharmakia, from which we get pharmacy. John wrote in the Revelation that at the end of time, men would not repent of their sorceries, pharmakia, clearly indicating the ubiquitous and widespread use of drugs.
Which is at the end. Look around.
That's right, and look around. As a matter of fact, I went to a training class not too long ago where a DEA agent told us that 80% of the heroin coming out of Mexico is cut with fentanyl.
Wow.
And that is absolutely lethal, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, that stuff will kill you just a millimeter of it, just a tiny, tiny bit.
Right. So stay out of the Sister Maria up here on the corner and all that kind of stuff. If you're a Christian, that brings down a spiritual sledgehammer, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Such verses reveal what society calls spiritual exploration. God calls it evil. Indeed, Scripture forbids consulting mediums and sorcerers under penalty of judgment. I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums, God said, as he did when warning ancient Israel before they entered a land steeped in witchcraft. And remember, he said he would drive out those nations before them.
Right.
He doesn't tolerate that kind of stuff very long. The spiritual realm is very real. Apart from God's truth, it is inhabited by imposters and demonic influence. As the prophet Jeremiah admonished, this was 27:9, do not listen to your diviners, your interpreters of dreams, mediums, or your sorcerers, for their counsel is a lie, leading people astray, and it can lead ultimately to a sin leading unto death.
Absolutely.
Physical death for a Christian. I like the example of Saul.
Yes, that's a good example.
Right, because he was held to a higher state of accountability because he was king of Israel, and he had all kinds of problems along the way. But in any event, when the witch who thought she was going to be talking with the demonic spirit she normally engaged, it says the scripture says the divine being came up out of the earth, and it was Samuel who came up out of paradise. And he tells Saul, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, sport, you screwed up now. Tomorrow you'll be with me. And, of course, he fell on his sword and died next day in battle. So he forfeited his physical life because of that type of spiritual adultery. Occult indoctrination in schools and institutions. This is a growing and alarming practice, Rob. Occult and pagan practices aren't just in entertainment. They're finding their way into public institutions. In recent years, a number of public schools have come under scrutiny for introducing students to mystical or pagan rituals under the guise of mindfulness or cultural education.
Right.
Uh-huh. For example, a class action lawsuit in 2023 exposed how Chicago area public school program force students to participate in a quiet time meditation that was essentially a Hindu religious ritual. Teenagers were led one by one into a dim room for a private puja, worship ceremony, made to chant secret mantras that were actually the names of Hindu deities, entities which are, of course, demonic in nature. Some students, pressured to take part despite objections, later received legal settlements for this coerced pagan indoctrination. The case underscored that even American public schools have crossed the line by enacting religious ceremonies to false gods. But you can't read a Bible.
No, you can't bring a Bible to school, but you can bring that book on witchcraft.
Right, or pray in most places. Astonishingly, teachers instructed children not to tell their parents about these activities, even having them sign non-disclosure agreements to hide the occult-based programs from religious family members. This is evil.
It's beyond criminal. It's evil.
It's evil, and evil to the core, I might add. This particular case is not an isolated incident. An investigative journalist, Alex Newman, has documented pagan and anti-Christian religious indoctrination has become a staple of government education across the nation under the banner of mindfulness or diversity or cultural education. Schools are introducing elements of Eastern mysticism, witchcraft, and even outright satanic imagery. A few years ago, in California, the State Board of Education unanimously approved an ethnic studies curriculum that shockingly had elementary school students chant prayers to the Aztec gods of war and human sacrifice. These demonic entities, once worshipped with cultural cannibalism, with ritual cannibalism, were invoked in the name of multicultural learning.
Yeah.
When in fact, it was just right out of the pit of hell, is what we're talking about.
Oh, yes.
In other districts, middle schoolers were assigned to write or recite Islamic Shahada, the profession of faith, as an exercise essentially guiding children to speak the creed of another religion. While marketed as educational, such practices amount to spiritual conditioning and indoctrination that blurs the line between instruction and religious initiation. And clearly, we are eyeballs deep in deception at the end of the age.
Yeah, we're beyond rescue at this point.
I concur. I guess he's wiggling and squirming.
Yeah,
so
it's time.
Yeah, final thought time. My final thought for this evening comes from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, I'm beginning at verse 5. Have this attitude, Paul writes, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so they shall. You can either confess him now, or you will surely confess him in the end. I beg you, I plead with you, ladies and gentlemen, there are only two choices. There's spiritual life and spiritual death. I beg you to choose life. I beg you to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart this very night and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you might be saved and passed from death to life and life eternal. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity. May the Lord richly bless you.
And for John Gassard, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.